Incorporated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump and top Republicans in Congress have begun work on the next COVID-19 aid package. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The president and top administration officials met with GOP congressional leaders in the Oval Office as they prepare to introduce a $1 trillion coronavirus relief package that
helps small businesses, helps people, helps this country.
One item the president wants included is a cut in payroll taxes.
Payroll tax cut to me is very important.
Republicans say their focus is on businesses, schools, and health care. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, Oxford University's Adrian Hill says his team's experimental coronavirus vaccine has been shown in an early trial to prompt a protective immune response in hundreds of people who got the shot.
We have found that in over 1,000 people, the safety profile looks rather good and reassuring. And importantly, we are seeing good immune responses in almost everybody.
British researchers first began the testing in April in about 1,000 people, half of whom got the experimental vaccine. Cases of the coronavirus in this country continue to spike, however. California Governor Gavin Newsom says that state's daily virus rate is a big number.
Total number of COVID-19 positive cases yesterday, July 19th, 6,846 positive cases.
Florida has reported 90 new deaths from COVID-19. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says hospital capacity is good.
Statewide, we have 25% of the hospital beds are available statewide, and almost 20% of the ICU beds are available. Here in Orange County, nearly 26% of adult hospital beds are available.
On Wall Street, the Dow up by 9 points, but the NASDAQ rose 263. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Who is this prophet to the whole country? Does one man really have the insight to know what's really happening? Get his free book at prophettoamerica.com. Is God's protective hedge around this country really gone? Can we expect worse than the coronavirus? Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com and download the free book, A Fresh Wind. Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears. We have an amazing team that fights for the best outcome for Braxton. He has the best chance here. I don't have to worry that how much is that bag of fluid going to cost me? Can I afford it to save my child's life? The donations, they're paying for me to live every day with my son, stress-free, and enjoy every day with him. I wish there was a word bigger than thank you, more close to the heart, because thank you's not enough. They've given me hope. They've given me my son.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
It's 5:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, Las Vegas broke its 89-day dry spell yesterday when less than 1/100th of an inch of rain was reported at McCarran Airport after 9 minutes of rain. The last reported rain at McCarran was April 20th, making it the fourth longest dry spell on record. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus statewide stands at more than 35,765. The statewide death toll is 647. Citing solid customer interest, Caesars Entertainment is reopening Bally's this Thursday. The property joins other Caesars reopened hotel casinos, Caesars Palace, Flamingo, Harrah's, and Paris, Las Vegas. All properties offer free self-parking. Company officials say Caesars' remaining Las Vegas properties, Planet Hollywood, the Cromwell, and Rio, will reopen based on customer demand. Well, the Raiders owner Mark Davis says, given what he knows right now, the team will likely play in an empty Allegiant Stadium this season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The team owner reiterated his stance that either all of the fans who bought tickets will be allowed to attend games or none of them will. Now it looks like none of them will. The Jets and the Giants already made that clear.
On-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We're getting moderate flows right now on the Beltway, 215 west at Valley Verde, 215 north at Sahara. There is a crash at the Spaghetti Bowl. It's blocking the right lane there. It's 515 northbound at Las Vegas Boulevard. You'll also tap the brakes there, 15 north at Desert End. Kevin Wall is next.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by SRT Special Services. In the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That number again, 702-221-1942. Well, we all know that in just over a month, the plan is to bring kids back to school, to put them into a brick-and-mortar school for 2 days a week. 3 days a week, they do online learning. A lot of people questioning whether that is the right thing to do. We had the leader of the teachers union, John Velardita, just a couple of days ago. He said they're not for this. Where are we now? And now you've got a superintendent of schools, Jesus Jara, who is under fire from the governor, from the state superintendent of schools, accusing him of lying, not once, but multiple times. Where are we now, just over a month away from schools being back in session? Joining us, Alexandra Appleton. She writes about education for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and she joins us. Alexandra, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin.
Give me the backstory briefly. Did I describe that fairly accurately? That
sure.
they accused the superintendent of essentially lying, misrepresenting facts, things. But essentially, that in my parlance is that's lying. Can you tell us where we are on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just like you described. Over in the special session, there was a hearing for this unpopular bill, AB2, which would have reverted the so-called school carryover money, the leftover money at schools. It would have given it back to the school district, which, as you can imagine, caused a lot of furor. And then what became of it is that we couldn't figure out who brought the bill and why, and the district seemed to step back from it. Superintendent Jara did not appear in the hearing for this bill. Instead, he came in during public comment later and got into a bit of a tuffle with the Speaker Frierson, who said unequivocally that this is CCSD's bill. And Dr. Jara, a few days later in a town hall, said, well, this is not CCSD's bill. So that kind of became the question, is who brought this bill that nobody wanted, the Orson bill. And what my colleague actually found from emails was that the school district had first approached Superintendent Public Instruction Joan Ebert about this idea to take the school carryover money. And then about a week later had also brought it to the assembly. So it became, well, why did the school district say it was Superintendent Ebert's idea, and, you know, who originated it? And then what it evolved into was, does it even matter since the bill is effectively dead on arrival? And that's kind of where we've ended up is that the governor, as you said, came down in pretty harsh words and said that Dr. Jara needed to have taken responsibility for this idea and sidestepped it instead. And we heard kind of the same thing from Superintendent Joan Ebert. And, you know, what that led to was a war of statements between the administrators union and then the teachers union, with the administrators, who are obviously the group whose ox is being gored in this situation, coming down pretty hard and saying that Jara needs to go. And if you look at their statement, what they say is that, you know, they think that he would be the benefit of the Board of Trustees in action on this. And the Board of Trustees apparently not really liking that. Three board members came forward and said they wanted to put Superintendent Jara's contract on a future agenda item, which has yet to be scheduled, and that is what we're currently waiting for.
Okay, give us the process needed to oust him now, because we've got some big challenges ahead, opening school on the 24th of August, mm-hmm. and dealing with brick and mortar schools versus online learning, a lot of that, and this superintendent doesn't have any credibility with a bunch of people, the governor to begin with.
And that's the concern I think that trustees have been raising, is that this is a really, I mean, it's always a critical time for CCC, isn't it? There's always a call for, we need more funding, and, you know, how will we go on? And we really need the lawmakers to trust you and to sympathize with you if they're going to turn over millions of dollars to you. So I think that's what the trustees were saying, is that, you know, we really need to have, certainly that's what the administrators union was saying, is that we need to have that sort of trust on both sides, so to speak. So the process that you were asking about, is this was the first step, is the three trustees separately requesting the item would come on the agenda. And then, you know, there's a number of ways. If they're going to talk about something that, you know, that they didn't like that he did, you know, if they're going to consider termination, I believe it can either be something that was brought up in his performance review or something that wasn't. And that's the difference between a show cause and no cause sort of termination. And I believe that there are different legal requirements for each one depending on what they choose to do.
Again, Alexandra Appleton joining us, Las Vegas Review-Journal education reporter. Let me just ask you, does it take four votes on the Board of Trustees to oust a superintendent?
That would make sense to me, but, you know, some of those processes, we actually had, there was one trustee, Danielle Ford, who was asking about those processes about a month ago now, and she was quickly chastised by the other board members for asking in an inappropriate forum, I guess. And so we never really learned what exactly the processes are, but it would make sense to me that of seven trustees, you would need four to vote for him to go.
So give me your sense of where we are with the opening of school a little more than a month away. Can you talk mm-hmm. a little bit about, because I remember when they passed this thing at, like, I don't know, 11:30 at night or something, they said that they passed it with lots of caveats. Can you talk about those caveats and where we are a little more than a month away?
Sure, absolutely. So one of those caveats is coming true today. What the board wanted was for a final plan to come back before the board and a future board meeting, which will be tomorrow. And what we heard from the school district today is that staff will recommend a distance learning start to the beginning of the school year. So the staff recommendation that they're bringing forward tomorrow is that everybody starts on distance learning. And I didn't see a date, you know, in their statement, so it looks like we're going to be on distance learning indefinitely until such time as it's safe to return to school. And then they might consider this this blended learning model that they had put forward before, which had students in school for 2 days and learning from home for 3 days a week.
So is that plan dead?
That plan is apparently not what students are going to start under on August 24th, at least not unless the Board of Trustees chooses to reject the staff recommendation and put forward the blended learning model anyway. But if they accept the staff recommendation, it'll be distance learning. 5 days a week for everybody starting August 24th.
Has there been...
they need to decide... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Continue. I'm sorry.
The other things they need to decide tomorrow is, are high school students going to take this four-course semester-based schedule that they had first proposed, or are they going to be allowed to take an six or eight class traditional schedule as they would? And then separately, they need to decide whether employees will have professional development virtually or in person.
This thing keeps changing day by day, hour by hour. It's a little scary. Has anybody at the district level done a study as to whether or not the kids learned anything beginning March 17 or whenever the schools closed down? I'm going to tell you, for like 2.5-3 months when kids were supposed to be doing online learning, I was hearing kids out in my neighborhood skateboarding, playing kickball. I heard it all, but I didn't hear a lot of online learning.
Their distance learning was definitely a struggle at the school district. They were, some weeks, unable to contact up to one-third of their students as they were supposed to do, as required by NDE. And you even had Superintendent Jara say plainly that he didn't think distance learning was, you know, worked very well for students. And so certainly there's a concern that this fall is going to be a repeat of the spring. But the district has been very quick to say it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, we're going to have a new classroom, a new online classroom called Canvas. We're going to have more Chromebooks, more Internet for everybody. It doesn't have to be what we did in the spring is what we're going to do in the fall. Obviously, the concern there is making, you know, now we need to have Chromebooks in everyone's hands by August 24th. Is that going to be possible? That's one of the main concerns, I think, right now.
And how do they address the issue of folks that don't have good Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so the district is going to spend, I think it was $23 million from its general fund, is the proposal to improve in-home Wi-Fi, which is essentially giving everybody a Wi-Fi hotspot to use. They're also putting forward some bond funds to improve Wi-Fi at the school level. And so with those two proposals, they're hoping to get better access for kids.
What happens? Does the district have to do anything tomorrow? They're going to get this report from staff. But my question is, do they have to do something about this tomorrow? Can they kick this can down the road for a week or two?
You know, that's a really good question. Apparently they can. The items are scheduled for possible action, which means a vote is very likely to be taken. But if they, you know, as they do go for a long time and decide they need to do another special meeting, they can call another special meeting.
More coming up with Alexandra Appleton. She writes education for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Does a great job doing it, by the way. As we continue, we're going to get into what happened at the legislature. They just closed down a special session, and a lot of people are saying education is going to pay a price for all of this. We'll get to that and more coming up with Alexandra as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Summer is coming, and so are those high power bills. Astronomical bills, usually due to an inefficient air conditioner. Upgrade to a Hi-Sear air conditioner from Home Air Conditioning. Those old R22 units are not getting any younger, and they're costing you plenty. Cool your home for less. Call Danny at Home Air Conditioning to schedule an appointment at your convenience anywhere in the valley. Home Air Conditioning, 702-878-8367. 702-878-8367. License number 51994.
Would you like an air conditioning technician instead of a salesman?
Afraid you're about to overpay for that air conditioner from that national chain?
Then you need to call Home Air Conditioning for your new, quiet, and energy-efficient air conditioning system. And if you need service and repair, they fix it right the first time. License number 51994. Call Danny for your quote over the phone at 878-8367. That's 878-8367, online at homeairlv.com.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Embarrassed about your ugly fungal infected feet? You bet you are. And you have been buying those rotten antifungal products. See, nothing happens. They just sit there and don't work.
Of course they don't. But a new breakthrough discovery is now being marketed as Bye Bye Fungus. And it is the answer to your problems. Bye Bye Fungus is fast acting and has been found by dermatologists to be a topical formulation that actually works. Bye Bye Fungus is budget friendly, painless, has no hideous side effects, and it's as easy to apply as nail polish. But above all else, it's effective. So effective, it's patented. Call 1-800-258-3635 and ask us for Bye Bye Fungus. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com and say Bye Bye Fungus, hello sandals.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by the SKC Group. Let the SKC Group show you and your business how an increased web presence can increase your bottom line. Call the SKC Group right now, 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. She is staying over, and I'm glad she is. Alexandra Appleton, Las Vegas Review-Journal education reporter. We have just completed a 12-day special session in Carson City, and the headline coming out of it, I guess, is that education and healthcare all took a tumble. They're all going to lose money. Can you tell me what you know about what they did over the 12 days, and they finished it off last night in Carson City?
Sure. Well, on the education side, education was going to be hurt pretty bad by the cuts to these categorical funds. The legislature left what's called the student funding guarantee alone, the basic amount of money that every student gets in Nevada. That has been left alone. But these categorical funds, SB 178 and Read by Grade 3, which specifically target low income and English learner students. Those saw pretty significant cuts. I think it was $70 million from the weighted funds and $30 million from the Read by Grade 3 program, which are both pretty significant in Clark County, especially, which relies on these funds to help students who are not in what they call Zoom or Victory schools. So that, I think, was a big hit. And then what I heard happened the last minute was that they kicked $50 million towards K-12 money specifically for programs that have come up during this pandemic. So it was almost like, you know, taking away a little bit of money and then, giving much less than they took away back.
But will any of that money reach back to Read by 3? Because I've been told, and you know it probably better than I do, that Read by 3 mm-hmm. is a program, I call it a whiz-bang program, that every superintendent brings in. And I'm told it's one of the programs that actually works.
Yeah, I mean, that was the hope, right, was to raise these reading levels, which, you know, teachers have described to me as really frightening, you know, when fourth graders are not reading at grade level, because it's such a predictor of graduation rates and future success. So I think it was really important to the district to have this program in place to raise those achievement rates early on. And it doesn't look like at this moment that any of that money is going to get to Read by Grade 3 programs. But what they did say is that if they get additional federal funds, and forgive me, I'm reading this from my colleagues, apparently those additional federal funds would then go to backstop Read by Grade 3 and the other cuts to education.
Is there a feeling in the education community that maybe education is getting shorted funding, and the folks that are actually benefiting from that are state workers, that they're not going to have as many furlough days, and that you know, education ends up getting stuck with the tab so that these people can keep their jobs?
I don't think I've heard anything quite like that from the education community. I don't think they're quite blaming other people keeping their jobs, but I think they are very upset because education was cut so deeply during the last recession. And I think they were hoping that we were finally recovering, we were going to have this new education formula, things were going better, if not great. And, you know, someone said something to me like, just as we think that we're getting up again, we get knocked down. And I think so that's the feeling, is that there was a chance to make things better and it was taken away from us. And I think also there was the question of why can't we use this as an opportunity to stop relying on gaming taxes and things like that to fund education and really, like, think about what's going to stop causing us these problems in the future, where every couple of years, you know, education gets kicked out.
We were talking earlier about what happens August 24th, and that at least the staff is going to recommend that they go to some form of non-brick-and-mortar, more distance learning. We keep hearing the governor may or may not shut down the state again. What are you hearing, and how might that impact what this decision by the board would be tomorrow, if there is going to be a decision?
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the factors is that California's governor recently, you know, decreed that all millions of students in California aren't going back to school buildings this year. So there's definitely, you know, when you see California, LA Unified, San Diego Unified doing something, you can kind of start thinking about, well, is that what we're going to get here? So whether the governor steps in to do that, you know, I'm not really sure. But it does strike me, as from the board members, as that they are also very much leaning towards preferring a distance education option. As they've been saying in public board meetings for a long time, that they're nervous. You know, they don't want to be responsible if a child dies, God forbid, or a teacher gets sick. And those are all huge decisions that are going to be made tomorrow.
And that's going to be tomorrow, and you'll be covering it. We'll be reading about it in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Alexandra, you're going to be busy the next couple of days, so thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Alexandra Appleton, the outstanding education reporter. She really does a nice job. I don't know if you followed her stuff, but I read it religiously, and she does a really great job. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday, brand new week. And by the way, we will have whatever news there is coming out of the school board, or the Board of Trustees, as they call it, we'll have that for you tomorrow. Don't forget, speaking of tomorrow, I will be joining Heidi Harris, 8:35, appointment listening. Make sure, and we always have fun. Whenever she and I are on the radio, we did this back, I think, on my first day, and we had so much fun. Oh, it was just a hoot.